All right, everybody, welcome back to the Five Hole Taxi Squad Fantasy Hockey Podcast, a Five Hole Fantasy Hockey presentation. We are back tonight on November the 9th, Thursday, November 9th, to talk to you about the coming week. Week 6 preview is upon us. So without further ado, Jay, start up the fairs and let's get into it. Welcome in, everybody, back to the Five Hole Taxi Squad. We are your hosts, Craig, Jay, and Alan. What's going on, boys? Welcome back to the pod. A fine Thursday of NHL action while we record tonight. How are we doing tonight?
Dude, ready for the sludge match. T-minus 14 minutes.
10-2.
Jay is really hoping for the Oilers to get off the snide here, so his Oilers takes look a little bit more alive instead of needing a defibrillator to really come back from the dead here. So we are excited for the Oilers-Sharks matchup, which puck drop should be happening momentarily, I think. Or is it at 10:30? Is it 10:30? Yeah, it's 10:30, so in about 15 minutes from now. But yeah, we are here without further ado tonight to talk about the week 6 week preview to get you guys primed and ready for schedule maximization and a whole bunch of streaming fun. A little bit of an odd week in terms of team schedules. Is there just one team with one game? Is it the Rangers? Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, the NHL decided the Rangers needed a long break. And then what? Senators, Toronto. Who's in Sweden? There's a bunch of teams in Sweden next week, isn't there? Like doing the international series. I think.
Oh shit!
I don't know who's out there with the Leafs and with the Senators, but the international series kicks off next week, I believe, with Toronto going to Sweden to play a couple of games. So that'll be weird. Maybe Nylander will just explode in his homeland, in his motherland, but who knows?
They said it's Detroit, Minnesota, Ottawa, and Toronto.
Okay, so yeah, that kicks off next week. So I don't know if that hurts teams in terms of like energy and ability to play when you have to do all that traveling. Like, it certainly doesn't help the NFL product in their international series. Those games are usually not very good because, you know, everybody's a creature of habit, but especially professional athletes probably don't enjoy being out of their regular schedule, probably in season, but always interesting to see the NHL try to broaden its reach in other countries. So the international series kicks off, and thanks, Jay, for grabbing those other teams. But we are here again tonight to talk about the week 6 preview. So let's get right into that, and we'll do a little bit of around the league from an injury standpoint. So Tristan Jarry, Pittsburgh Penguins goaltender, is day-to-day. Surprise, surprise. He's hurt again. Usually hurt a couple of times a season after colliding with Adam Henrik in that Ducks game. Was that Tuesday? Yeah, that was Tuesday, right?
That sounds right.
He got a cut on his face and he's being evaluated. We don't have an update on the severity. I would imagine he'll miss a few games. I know their call-up, Hallberg, he's playing.
Magnus Hallberg.
That's a good Viking name. He's playing tonight for them, or played tonight for them in his stead. So, you know, it's not a lower body injury. It's not an upper body injury. It's a cut on his face, so he should be back. But yeah, Magnus Hallberg was called up and he's holding down the net until Jarry comes back with Nedeljkovic, who's on long-term IR. So Hallberg's probably going to be the backup even when Jarry comes back, but he's playing tonight against LA.
You think you know tacos, you never had a taco in LA.
I don't know if this is really something to monitor because a cut on the face probably is just a few games for Jarry to miss, unless it's, you know, something affecting his vision. But, like, you know, the Pens, I believe they're still in last place in their division. Maybe not a place you want to go for goalies. And, you know, as I said before we jumped on tonight to the boys, goalies are a nightmare this season. So just, you know, temper your expectations and grab on with two hands and enjoy the disaster of a ride that is the goaltending situation in the NHL from a fantasy perspective in 2023, at least to start the season, because it is a nightmare. So just run away from goalies if you can. I guess that's my message. On to some other guys in the injury report here. Alex Tuck, which sucks. I just traded for him. What the? Come on. But he's day-to-day with an upper body injury. He looks like he's hopeful for Friday. So hopefully the Alex Tuck owners out there, because that line just got going, maybe allows JJ Paterka to move up the lineup if he misses time. And then another cut by a skate. Jordan Eberle, I tried to find some sort of update on this. He'll be day-to-day. He was cut on the leg, and in a corresponding move, they called up Shane Wright, I would imagine, to play this weekend, which most likely means Eberle's going to miss a couple of games while his cut on his leg heals. I don't know. Do you want to stream Shane Wright? Probably not.
No, I just thought it was newsworthy because he's a high pedigree draft pick. Like, what, second overall?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. It's something to monitor. Be interesting to see if he can actually do something in this stint with the Kraken and actually stick in their lineup, especially with they've had a couple of injuries in their, you know, their top nine, and they probably are still looking for some offense considering they're still in the bottom third of the league in scoring right now.
I think it was 2 goals, 3 assists, 7 games. So not terrible, you know, just not like it's like 12 goals in like one game or some shit.
Yeah. Like Alan said, like a high capital draft pick player hasn't shown he's ready for the NHL yet, but he's got another chance to maybe stick in a depleted and struggling to score Seattle Kraken lineup in their top nine. The other storyline from around the league, a little bit interesting and certainly fantasy relevant. I'm not really sure why the Wild did this, to be honest. The more I was reading about it, and they traded their young defenseman Kalen Addison to the San Jose Sharks for a 2026 fifth round pick, pretty much answers the question in San Jose, who's going to be their power play one quarterback. And this probably gives Kalen Addison a overall fantasy bump. He's definitely going to get way more time on ice. He's going to get more opportunity to play, which probably means an opportunity for more hits and blocks and to see if the kid can actually be more than just a power play specialist, which he wasn't getting entrusted to do in Minnesota. I think he was already practicing today on their top power play with the likes of Anthony Duclair and Tomas Hertl. Will be interesting to see if he's there tonight against Edmonton and if that means anything for him from a fantasy perspective. But that's it from around the league from an injury standpoint and storylines. So, Alan, why don't you take us through the schedule breakdown for week 6 and where we want to head from a streaming perspective?
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting week to stream from. Definitely some stuff Jay can really get into. But best schedule, hands down, Anaheim, 4 games with 3 off nights. And then you got a couple of teams out there, the New York Islanders and Seattle with 4 games on 2 on off nights. And then Columbus, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Vegas have 4 games with 1 off night. And then worse schedules. When I say these teams have 2 games, I mean 2 games on the busy days. Those teams are Boston, Dallas, LA, Nashville, Ottawa, San Jose, and Washington. And then New York Rangers, as we said earlier, only has 1 game. So for everyone like me who rushed out and picked off Gustafsson, you got a diamond hand for this week, because I bet if you drop him, someone will scoop him up. But streamers, first and foremost, look at that top six in Anaheim or anyone on the top power play. Check and see if they're available. I think I saw that Zegras was 48, 49% owned today. I was able to grab Troy Terry in one league just because I think most people in that league don't think far enough ahead. Guys like Killorn has power play 1. I think Minty is far above 50, but worth checking still. And then from Seattle, Jaden Schwartz, we just went over him. Hawkeye check-in, center left wing.
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Only 34% owned at this point. 9 points in his past 7 games, and he just got another goal tonight. From the Islanders, I think just because he is meant to be a scorer, Kyle Palmieri, right wing, 7% owned sneakily. He's got 8 points in 11 games played. Honorable mentions, just go check on Riley Smith, 58% owned. He is on that Penguins top power play unit right now. They switched out Brian Rust. I'm going back to the well for Ivan Barbashev. He's covering right under 50% owned. And of course, I always have to mention it, show favorite, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, New York Islanders. This is more of a peripherals Cats League play, especially if you count faceoffs. He takes a ton of faceoffs. And then I think tonight he had a shorthanded goal or shorthanded assist. So he's always got that point upside, but you mostly pick him up for the peripherals. Goalies, both Gibson and Dostal are still right under 50% owned. I'd say Semyon Varlamov, I know he got kind of blasted in his last start, but before that he had like two straight shutouts. He's 40% owned. The Islanders do have a back-to-back, and maybe he sees a second game. Feels like they're giving him a little bit more runtime than last season, because I think last season Sorokin had like 60-plus starts. And then either one of, depending on how confident you are, Grubauer or Joey Decord. Grubauer is at 33% owned. I'm sure Decord is much, much lower. Seattle does have a back-to-back. Elvis, guys, 27% owned. Four games against some pretty winnable teams, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Washington, and Philly. I'd say he's worth the spot starts. And then big boy bangers. Rad Kugutis, still under 50% owned somehow. But if he has taken Ilya Labushkin on the Ducks, also hits a ton. And from Seattle, Adam Larson hits and blocks with the occasional assist thrown in there. And then right wing, Vegas, Keegan Kolesar. I think he actually leads the league in hits right now. If I was looking at rankings right, on Columbus, Provorov, 25% owned, blocks, hits sprinkled in there with some point upside. He does get power play 2-time. I'm going to hand it over to Jay now for strategy.
Yeah, Allen's guys are absolutely bang on. The first one, Rangers. Guys, they play one game on Saturday. If they played a game on like Monday or Tuesday, you know, it's still maybe worthwhile to hold drop after they played. But yeah, they play on Saturday. I think that's going to be the big question with Gustafson. If you want that power play one while Fox, I guess, rests up and recuperates, you're going to have to deal with probably losing this week if you're going to be holding. Well, maybe not if you held one player, but if you had three or more Rangers, yeah, I think you're pretty toast unless you're going to be willing to drop them. Those are the teams that Allen mentioned as well. Like, yeah, they have terrible two-game slates, right? The worst two-game slate possible would be a Tuesday and a Saturday, mainly because you have three streamable days in between. So you probably don't want to stream any of those Boston, Dallas, Nashville, Washington teams. Instead, you should be focusing your strategy on getting teams that can play early in week six. I guess there are three main strategies for maximizing slots early in the week. So there's first your Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. Second most ideal, if you can get them afterwards, is the Monday, Wednesday off night. A bunch of teams actually do play that off night in week six. So there's New York Islanders, Seattle, Colorado, Edmonton. I'd say out of those, probably aim for the Islanders and Seattle, first and foremost because they play four games compared to Colorado and Edmonton only play three. But the second one is the Islanders and Seattle probably have more high production stars that are not already owned up. So definitely go look and just go check, see who's available, see who's there. Like Matty Beniers is hanging around in some leagues.
He just scored his first goal of the season tonight.
Probably explains a little bit on why he's hanging around in some leagues. So hopefully he stays hot because they play on Monday and on Wednesday. The next part of the strategy can be flipped and inverted either way, and Thursday is the core day. The Islanders and Seattle both offer good opportunity here where you can hold from Monday through to Thursday and lock in that third game and then use your drop and add fresh recruits to boost the week. But obviously, it depends on where you view Thursday in terms of a back half or a front half of the week. And in terms of week six, like what, 18 teams play on Thursday. So pick your letter. In terms of best schedule for the back half of a week, the best schedule would be any team that can play three out of the four. So for any team that has, I guess, like the best schedule where you can get them on the Thursday and also get two off nights, Friday and Sunday, instead what we're going to do is we're going to target the only other option in terms of three games played, which is the busy Thursday, busy Saturday, but then they play a back-to-back and get an off night Sunday as well. And a bunch of teams play that, right? So in terms of the Thursday, Saturday, Sunday slate, there's Columbus, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Vegas, Chicago. I think Columbus and Chicago, well, actually a lot of these teams have tons of players. Just mine through them. I'll say them again. Columbus, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Vegas, Chicago. Again, like last week, Chicago had two games. So aside from Bedard and aside from Jones, everyone should be available there on your roster, on your waiver, on your everything. And you are getting power play one guys again, right? Because they are terrible. Good enough to get you some points, but no, they're not going to win you your league if you're holding them for the rest of, you know, your season. But for week six in the back half, you definitely want to target those five teams. I guess you're kind of seeing the pattern here already, and already it's week six, but it's the same almost every single week. You start with the Monday, Wednesday team. That's two off nights in a row. And then if that team also plays on Thursday, great. If not, target a team that once you've dropped the guy that plays on Monday and Wednesday, go add the guy that plays on Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And that way you get your five games. Another strategy that would work this week, especially with the stranger schedules where it seems just like a lighter week in terms of games played overall, it's called the chasing the backs strategy, where the goal is simply if you have one streaming slot, how are you going to possibly max out the games? And you're simply going to chase every back-to-back available in the week. That's all you're going to do. So I'm going to run you through the scenario for this. And I don't know, let's say it's a pretty high to average ad league. Let's see, a four ads, right? So how you work is, first, make sure you hold on week five one of these four teams that plays on week six Monday, right? So you're going to hold one of your New York Islanders, Seattle, Colorado, or Edmonton players, okay? So because you've helped them from the previous week, you now get them to play on Monday. What you're going to do afterwards is on Tuesday morning, you're going to drop them, and you're going to add a player from the teams below, right? So there's only one team that plays on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's Anaheim, right? So you're going to drop him, grab an Anaheim player. Once that happens and it rolls around to Thursday, because he's played on Tuesday, played on Wednesday, it rolls around to Thursday, you're going to drop the Anaheim player, and you're looking for a guy that's going to play Thursday and Friday, right? There's only two teams that matches, so that's Florida and Detroit. Again, it doesn't really matter who it is, just grab somebody to get somebody. And then again, you're going to repeat the process again for a player that plays on Saturday and Sunday, right? So there's Columbus, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Vegas, Chicago, Philadelphia, Minnesota. You can tell that just tons of back-to-backs happen at the end of the week. So if you wanted to try this chasing the backs strategy, yeah, just, you know, press pause or press whatever, zoom back and follow along on the previous teams. And there you have it. One streaming spot, you get seven games. Pretty neat. And I don't know, like this, with this weird week schedule, you probably do need a little bit of an unorthodoxy to get you those extra games played and extra points. So just check those teams out and listen to what Alan suggested, and I'll throw it back to Craig.
I'm gonna let us digest the streaming madness of targeting the back-to-backs, streaming a player and dropping them after one game. Streaming madness that Jay just brought forward.
We're gonna need a bigger streaming
boat. Yeah, we're gonna have to bring in like the stretch Humvee taxi to fit all of these players in. What the hell did you call it, Jay? Chasing the backs.
Chasing the backs. Yes.
All right. So there you have it. A new streaming strategy for a strange schedule week. So before we dive into a streamers of the week conversation, we want to look back on a, from week four, our streamers of the week, but just to dabble in the ongoings of tonight's games. We had our first true breakout game from Connor Bedard tonight, everybody, so we can rejoice. Basically put his team on the on his back tonight and willed him them to a victory against the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa, Alan, if I'm not
mistaken. Wait, no, I thought this game got rained out or something.
In Tampa, if I'm not mistaken as well. But young Bedard had 2 goals, 2 assists, 5 shots on goal, 1 hit, 1 block in 17 minutes and 55 seconds time on ice. So finally having a true breakout game as a, I guess, the very clear runner for the Calder. Another observation, couple of observations from tonight's games. Sorokin is not a robot in the net. He got lit up by the Bruins tonight, 5-2 in Boston when Sorokin was in net. So he's not some sort of goalie god when he's in between the pipes. Just shows you how messed up goalies are to begin with. The Monahanaissance continues. He had another point on the power play tonight. Just 1 shot on goal, but he skated 18 and a half minutes time on ice.
He had a goal that got called back.
So he's still getting all of the deployment, which is good to see. Matty Beniers scored his first goal of the season, probably why he has a low ownership, also only being center only. And then last point on tonight's goings on, the Canucks might be a wagon. They just pumped the Senators in Ottawa 5-2 with Casey DeSmith in net as well. But all the big boys had another great night. Besser scored his 11th of the season. Miller had a goal. PD had 2 points, a goal and an assist. Miller had 2 points as well. Hughes had another power play assist. Ilya Mikheyev apparently knows how to score all of a sudden playing with these players. He had 2 goals tonight. Yeah, just a lot of fun stuff and exciting things happening tonight in the games. Kyle Connor had a hat trick against the Predators. No score in the Edmonton game yet, boys. Almost 4 minutes in. So maybe we'll see a 1-0 shutout by Skinner. Who knows? I'm braving the waters in a couple of leagues where I need to hit my goalie starts taking Skinner tonight. So hopefully he does something positive because goalies haven't been fun for me this week. But let's dive in here. Let's keep ourselves a little bit of accountable. We had some streamers of the week in week four, and we wanted to do a full week recap on what they did for us. Just as a reminder, mine was Logan Cooley from the Arizona Coyotes and Bobby Brink from Philadelphia Flyers. Jays were Cam Atkinson and Sean Couturier from the Flyers. And Alan was Ivan Barbashev from the Vegas Golden Knights. And these were our streamers of the week for week four. So through the entirety of that week, we're going to say that all of them were successful, shockingly enough, other than Couturier. And I think Couturier was only the fall off of being injured and missing the final 2 games of Philly's schedule. But all of them had at least a point and contributed in some fashion to a category coverage, specifically highlighting Cam Atkinson, who had 15 shots on goal and 3 blocks and 1 hit, only 1 goal, but that those 15 shots on goal is insane. And then Allen's Ivan Barbashev pick, 1 goal, 1 assist, 13 shots on goal, 8 hits and 2 blocks. We're going to cha-ching those up as wins for streamers of the week for the taxi squad here. And Logan Cooley, 1 goal, 2 assists, 2 shots on goal, 2 penalty minutes, 1 hit, and 1 block. 1 win for each of us from week 4 streamers of the week. Now, a check-in on week 5 streamers of the week. I myself had Adam Fantilli, Matt Duchene, and Super Mario Ferraro. Jay had Oliver Ekman-Larsson from the Florida Panthers and Sean Monahan from Montreal Canadiens. Alan had Mason Marchment from the Dallas Stars and Ilya Mikheyev. Well, we are all off to fantastic starts, but Adam Fantilli has 1 assist, 1 shot on goal, 4 hits and 2 blocks through 2 games. Matt Duchene has 1 goal, 2 assists, 6 shots on net, and 1 hit through 2 games. Mario Ferraro through 1 game has 1 shot on goal, 2 hits, 7 blocks. Oliver Ekman-Larsson has 1 goal, 2 assists, 4 shots on goal, 2 hits, 8 blocks through Florida's first 2 games. And Sean Monahan, we already mentioned him, 2 assists, 3 shots on goal in Montreal's first 2 games of the week. Allen's Mason Marchment, 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 shots on goal, 1 hit, 1 block. And Ilya Mikheyev scored 2 goals tonight, also has 4 shots on goal and 2 hits through Vancouver. So we're off to a real strong start for our week 5 streamers of the week. So with that said, we'll do a check-in on them for the week 6 weekend preview to do our full week recap on our week 5 streamers. Let's tell the people out there who we are targeting for our teams. Alan, who are you trying to get on your squad heading into week 6 from your streamers of the week?
Yeah, Kyle Palmieri. Like I mentioned earlier, been kind of sneaky, and he's getting that top power play in New York for what that's worth. And then still strangely lowly owned, and they have a decent schedule next week. Mr. Matchbox 20, Rob Thomas on the St. Louis Blues.
You guys know how I feel about Rob Thomas. Yeah, okay, great deployment.
He's got goals, though. Great. That's the crazy part.
It's just so disappointing every time. Like, great, 1 goal, 1 shot on net, nothing else. It's just like, I don't like, like, what kind of box score is that for a number one center? Put that in quotations. Like, I will respect your choice, Alan. I'll respect your choice as a driver here at the taxi squad. Palmieri's sneaky, man. Like, for sure. I really like that one. Like, and the Islanders have been kind of sneakily scoring to start the season. And this is, you know, not usually their MO. I was looking at a little bit of Matt Barzal. Like, he's shooting like crazy to start the year and getting some crazy time on ice. Like, I think it's just a matter of time till he actually just like pops. That team might be sneaky good as the league goes on, or as the season goes on. I've even seen Brock Nelson available in a couple of leagues. You know, that guy's got some sneaky scoring upside once he gets rolling. So
he hits.
And he hits.
I think he's a go check guy. I think his ownership was pretty high when I checked.
Yeah, I would say he's a just go check guy. I would say Matt Barzal's just go check guy. I think he's much higher. I think he's like 70%, but I actually saw him dropped in a couple of places after last week. Bo Horvat might even have been dropped because he got hurt. So it's just a couple of things to check on from an Islanders perspective. Dobson's not going to be available, but Jay, take us through your thought process, who you're targeting for your teams this week coming up. And your, what do we call it? Check your backs. Oh. Backsies. We'll call it the backsies strategy. No backsies, but we want backsies in week 6. Chase backs. Chase backs.
I'm not loyal to any of these players, right? Like, they're a one and done type deal. But I guess early in the week, we said Islanders in Seattle. So 2 Islanders, just go look, like Pollock, Pajot. And then if not, well, I guess Seattle's pretty good too. Like Alan mentioned, low hanging fruit. But yeah, Jaden Schwartz, dude's like 34% owned. Pretty hot start to the year. Tolvanen's not bad either. Like, dude's getting tons of periffs and everything else. Like, you'd assume or hope the goals eventually follow, right? But yeah, just basically target Islanders in Seattle. They will maximize your early parts of next week.
The stream machine, Jay, I don't think the scheduling for week 6 excites Jay as much than a usual week. I feel like Jay's kind of down on what's about to happen for his week 6, and he's really not excited that he has to stream from the likes of the Islanders and Columbus and Seattle, because Jay does not see value above replacement on any of those teams, as I think we've figured out through the shows with him. So, but hey, you know, blocks specifically from Pollock, maybe a little sneaky upside. I'm not as big on Pajot as you guys are. I love the Schwartz pick. Tolvanen's been a little bit unlucky with his shots on goal rate, but he is hitting. Oh, Tolvanen's actually on their top power play unit now, getting 68% share. So not a bad thing with a dual eligible winger when you're looking for a streamer who does cover shots on goal and hits categories in a categories league with a little bit of points upside. So yeah, that takes me to my streamers of the week, and I'm going back to the Anaheim well with Ryan Strome, who's only 30% owned, still skating on that second line with Frank Vetrano and Mason McTavish. He was sick, so he wasn't injured, so he's back playing. He isn't on their top power play unit, which kind of makes him a take a little bit of hit in value from a streaming perspective, but that line at even strength has been their best line overall to start the season, and there's no way in hell I'm ever going to recommend Alex Killorin as a streaming candidate unless you're really desperate, even though, you know, top power play at even strength, he's on the third line, on their checking line. So, nope, I'd rather stream Ryan Strome, who does a little bit of everything. And then, yeah, he scored his first goal of the season tonight, off to a little bit of a slow start, but he is, you know, quote unquote, their number one center. He's coming off a Calder Trophy. I'm going to throw Matty Beniers out there as another streamer of the week. I know he's only center only, but he's getting 72% of the power play share. He shoots a little bit, definitely has that point upside. Hopefully tonight gets him going. So it'd be a perfect time to stream him and see if he can get going. And then I'm going to keep riding the wave with Kirill Marchenko in Columbus on the second line with Fantilli and Dmytro Vararenkov. Vararenkov, there we go. The young kid line in Columbus. He's not getting top power play time right now. That's Jack Roslovic. So maybe another guy you want to take a look at streaming because he's up on the top line with Boone Jenner and Johnny Gaudreau. But Kirill's still getting 66% of the power play share. So until that changes, he's definitely playing right wing only in a position of scarcity, somebody that I'll be looking to stream. And he's done pretty well this week. He has a couple of goals. I've streamed him in a couple of leagues. So I'm going all point upside, guys, as I usually do from a streaming perspective. I tend to kind of chase hits and blocks later in weeks if I need to, or I rely on guys that I've drafted for hits and blocks strategically from that standpoint. Any closing thoughts, boys, before we wrap the week 6 preview tonight?
Actually, you know what? I thought I had him in the notes. Good, big, beautiful winger. Braden Schenn, man.
He's been hitting.
It's scoring upside.
Hit the and post on an empty net tonight.
He's off to a slow start scoring, but I think he picks it up at some point, right? Like, I think he's probably a floor 60-point player, right? But he's been hitting like a freight train to start the year, so that's a great one. Big beautiful winger there, boys. And that whole Blues team's kind of really off to a really slow start scoring wise like they beat the Coyotes tonight, but only two,
yeah, like even
only 2-1.
Buchnevich, I was looking at him and he's got nothing. Like, that's why I was like, Rob Thomas, like, he's got some of the highest point totals on the Blues right now.
Yeah, I saw Buchnevich dropped in a league. I can't remember which one, but he was actually dropped for somebody in a league. But again, there's a couple of teams that you expect to be a little bit more scoring side of things, and they're not. Like, even the Wild is off to a relatively slow start. You know, it's kind of a weird start to the season overall from a scoring standpoint. Look at the Kings. They just like put a stamp on their position in the Western Conference, just like throttling Vegas, what, two nights ago? No, last night, 4-1.
Last night, yeah.
And now they're losing already to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know it's a back-to-back for them, but man, they looked dominant last night. And then Edmonton, what, 10 minutes in, almost 11 minutes into this game, still have not scored against the Sharks. Yikes.
Dude, Sharks are looking hungry.
And they only have 4 shots on goal as a team. Come on, Edmonton. Where are you? Wake up. It's boring when Connor McDavid is not doing Connor McDavid things. Let's wrap the week 6 preview. We thank you as always for listening. Like and subscribe and give us 5 stars wherever you get your fine podcasts. Also check out Raj's 5-hole fantasy hockey guides limited series. He's released that on a separate channel, still affiliated with 5-hole fantasy hockey, but he wanted to make it more accessible for everybody to follow along. He's 5 episodes in, and he'll be releasing some other special release content as the season goes on, bringing his fresh perspective from all things hockey and fantasy hockey. So take a look at that, as well as join us if you're not already in there. Get your asses in there in the 5-hole fantasy hockey Discord community of 2500 plus strong now. All like-minded fantasy hockey individuals talking all things fantasy hockey and life in general. We welcome all who want to join that community. Myself, Jay and Alan, TJ, Zach and Raj are also in there, with the 3 of us being much more active in terms of responding to our listeners. But TJ is still chatting away with the patrons as much as he can when he's not traveling. So get in there if you're not in there. We will turn off the fares and park the van cab for now. We will be back with our quick fares, look back on the week that was for week 5. And then Alan will rejoin the van cab crew for week 6 weekend preview. So we will say goodnight for now. It's all love, and everybody pray for the Edmonton Oilers if they can't beat the San Jose Sharks tonight, because their season might be over real quick if that does in fact happen. So we will say goodnight, everybody. Thank you for listening as always, and the taxi squad will return.
David Quinn looks like dollar store Benedict Cumberbatch.
We'll pick you up later.